We're talking about the power of prayer, and this is part two. Last week, we did part one. Not surprising, I guess. And so this is like the TV show says previously on the power of prayer. And so now we do a little review. We talked about through prayer, workers are raised up and sent forth. God has given us this work to do through prayer. Then through prayer, doors of opportunity are opened for preaching the gospel. Where the doors were closed, through prayer they open up. And three, through prayer, workers are enabled to speak with boldness. Paul specifically asks that he might, prayers for him, that he might be able to speak with boldness. So let's continue then, looking at number four. Through prayer, the word is spread and glorified. Notice this in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. To what degree? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Paul understood that the vital importance of having prayer support in the unfettered, the unchained, the unlimited spread of the gospel. It was J. Hudson Taylor who noticed the wonderful work of grace in one of the stations in the China Inland Mission. The number of converts, the spiritual character of the church was far greater than in other stations. Since he knew the missionaries in the other stations were just as dedicated, just as consecrated, it remained a mystery to him why there was such a difference. Then on a visit to England, a man came forward at the end of the service to meet him. Taylor was surprised to find this man knew much about the successful station. He asked, "How is it that you're so conversant with the conditions of that work?" The man says, "Oh, the missionary there and I are old college mates, and for years we have regularly corresponded. He has sent me the names of inquirers," meaning those who were interested in pursuing the things of God, "and the converts, and these I have daily taken to God in prayer." There's the explanation. God was doing the work, as always, behind the scenes. So through prayer, the word is spread and glorified. And then number five, through prayer, the powers, I got it misnumbered here on the PowerPoint. Through prayer, the powers in opposition to God are broken. The opposition is broken. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 and 2. Moving on from what we were just looking at. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith." You could argue that everybody has some kind of faith, but what he's talking about is faith in Christ for salvation. So Paul knew from long experience the dangers that threatened him and threatened the work at the hands of wicked and unbelieving men. You think about Nehemiah. God gave him the opportunity to do the great work of rebuilding Jerusalem. Encountered fierce opposition to his God-given task of rebuilding the wall. You don't really build a city until the wall is built. Nehemiah 4 tells how the opposition that vastly outnumbered them was successfully defeated through constant prayer and diligent work. Don't suppose, you know, we've invented the word impossible. God doesn't know that word. He knows that we use it. He knows we think it, but it doesn't mean anything to him. So A.C. Dixon was invited to preach at a college where the president told him that only two or three of the graduating seniors were saved. And in that day, that was a very sad thing. He was asked to preach on salvation. But when he arrived, the president told him that the ringleader of the rebellious seniors had got a pledge from the students that they would not be influenced by these services. At the first service, only one young man stood to ask prayer for salvation. He was so insignificant to the group that the ringleader had neglected to talk to him. That afternoon, the president held a prayer meeting with the Christian students, and Dr. Dixon attended. He related, "I never heard such prayers in any other college, such broken-hearted petitions, such a realization of weakness and dependence upon God. Somehow I felt that when I went out from the prayer meeting, which had lasted for an hour and a half, that God was going to work." That evening, during the final service, the opposition was even more consolidated, and no one responded to the gospel. Dr. Dixon found the president with some teachers who were still praying for God to work. Tears streamed down their face. Dr. Dixon prayed with them for another 5 to 10 minutes when the door opened and a young man came in. He asked, "Can I say a word, sir?" When I got out of the door of the service hall, that covenant with hell was broken, and I have come to ask you to pray for me as I would like to be a Christian. While they were pointing him to Christ, another and then another student came in. When they left the prayer room at 1 o'clock in the morning, all but two of the seniors had accepted Christ. You see, the breaking power was that of prayer, the power of God. The next one is, through prayer, God's servants are kept from harm. Satan would, Christ told Peter, would like to sift him like wheat. I don't know exactly what that means, but I've seen wheat being sifted, and that would not be a good thing for Peter. Acts 12:5-17. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And verse 17, but he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. You remember how that Paul was delivered from his jail cell in an astounding, miraculous manner. Paul, on the other hand, was saved from a murderous mob in Jerusalem by an unbelieving Roman soldier. Remember also that the apostle James, who had been imprisoned before Peter, had actually been put to death. We are to bow to the wisdom and love of God who does all things righteously. We were mentioning last week that it's not up to us in the asking of prayers to determine how God would answer. Where he has told us what he will do, we may call upon him to do it. But, health and safety and all these things, we are setting this before God, knowing that he will do the loving and the right thing. Mrs. Ruth Stull and her husband were missionaries to the Indians in the Amazon jungles of Peru. She heard of a native woman who was ill, so she and another missionary lady went to help her and pray for her salvation. It was on the way back, their dugout boat was caught in a raging flood from the mountains. The boat hit a fallen tree. Ruth was thrown into the water. The current held her at the bottom of the river, and she was entangled in the vines of a fallen tree. As she despaired of life, suddenly her head was above the water. The boat had made it around the fallen log. She was pulled into the boat with no serious damage. All's lost, and then suddenly, everything's okay. When she returned to their home, her husband met her. He told her that after she left, he was definitely impressed to pray, not for the sick woman, but for his wife. She wrote, I have often thought what the result might have been had he put it off until the finishing of his task or until the time of regular prayer. But he prayed, and I was saved. Some weeks later, Ruth received a letter from a woman telling of two women's prayer groups that met together for joint prayer. During the testimony time, 12 women told how they had been awakened during the night with the desire to pray for Mrs. Stull. Ruth noticed the date of her life-threatening experience was the last day of one of the 12 ladies who received the special call to pray for her. Stories like this have impressed me that when the impulse, when the sense that I should pray for somebody comes upon me, I just want to do that. I don't want to wait. I don't want to, sometimes it happens while I'm driving. It's fine. I don't have to close my eyes and get on my knees. But spend the time in prayer. And if the Holy Spirit is prompting our hearts about these things, let's be quick to obey. And then the last thing is this. Through prayer, mighty works are accomplished. Mighty works are accomplished. Not just your everyday average works, but mighty, mighty works. John 14:12-13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, yea, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you will ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Considering the works that Jesus did, it's rather amazing to hear his promise that we might do greater works than these. I've enjoyed the story. D.L. Moody made a trip to England in 1872. He was not scheduled to preach. He was doing more of a business meeting. While in London, a congregational pastor asked him to preach one Sunday. The first service was marked by a smug, stolid drowsiness. Moody began to regret his acceptance of the invitation to preach. But at the end of the evening message, he asked those who would decide for Christ to stand. Hundreds rose to their feet, much to his surprise. He asked them to be seated because he was sure they didn't understand what he had asked. He carefully repeated his invitation, and they all stood again. 400 people ended up getting saved and joining the fellowship of the church. Moody knew God could do anything, but he investigated this mystery, found a bedridden girl named Marion Adlard. This girl had read of Moody's weak work in Chicago and asked God to send Moody to her church. Since the invitation to preach had happened suddenly, she did not learn that Moody was in her church until her older sister returned from the service to tell her. She had prayed for God to work all that afternoon. She didn't get to pray about that morning service, characterized by drowsiness. So she prayed all that afternoon. Moody visited her, and she promised to pray for him every day. He was careful to get that girl to pray. Prayer is asking divine omnipotence to work through yielded human weakness. God is looking for faithful intercessors through whose prayers he can perform more of his mighty works promised by our Lord. Truly, prayer is the most powerful ministry that God had entrusted to his saints. So, let's not neglect that. Let's recognize that this is how God wants us to work the works of God, to work through him, work in this life through him.